With one child out of college and our second about to graduate and our third moving out of his teen years in a few weeks, I find myself looking back on our family photo albums with a nostalgic heart. How can time pass that quickly? Around our house are many photographs and many albums that need to be updated, I'll admit. But we look through those and we see a glimpse of our life through the years. I see a photograph of a new bride smiling into the camera. Can that be me with the long, very dark hair? I smile at the photographs of our beautiful babies who are now much taller than I, and I think, could they ever have been that small? Well, our refrigerator alone is a virtual history display of all the years that have flown by so very fast. Photographs only tell part of the story. They give us little glimpses into our lives, but we have to fill in the rest. Sometimes I think of the Bible as a photo album filled with photographs, snapshots that tell a story but don't give us every single detail. We get glimpses into the lives of people, but there is still so much that is left out, and we have to fill in what's missing. Take the disciple Thomas, for instance. What do we really know about him? All we have are a couple of snapshots. There's a photo of him with Jesus when Lazarus died, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, have begged Jesus to come heal him. In the same photo, we see all the disciples looking very distressed as Jesus contemplates going to Judea where the Jews are ready to stone him to death. But there in the front of the photo is Thomas, so eager to please. The Gospel of John tells us that Thomas said to all the other disciples, "Let us go also that we may die with Jesus." It is clear in this picture that Thomas is gung-ho for the gospel, even to the point of death. Flip the pages, and the next snapshot we have of Thomas is one taken not long after that first. In this photo, Jesus is gathered around a table with all of his disciples. They're sitting there in their bare feet because Jesus has just washed them prior to supper. Spread across the tablecloth are empty cups and plates, breadcrumbs all over the place, and even a drop of wine on the tablecloth. After having this wonderful meal, you would expect a very contented picture, but no, the look on the disciples' faces is one of great distress. We know from reading the Gospel of John that this is a scene from the Last Supper. And Jesus has just told his disciples again that he must die, and soon. He reassures them with words that we often speak at funerals, where Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the place where I am going." In the photograph, Thomas alone has his mouth wide open, and he asks the questions that all of them gathered around that table are dying to ask. "Lord," Thomas says, "we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus responds in those words that we hold to our hearts, "I am the way and the truth and the life." We know that one of the next photos in Jesus' album will be of him being dragged off by soldiers and police as he is prepared for death. Flip the page again, and the third photo in Thomas's album is a really strange one. It's odd because Thomas isn't in the photo. The picture is dark, save for a few glowing candles casting shadows around a quiet room. There are 10 men in that photo huddled in fear, and one man standing among them, his hands pierced with some god-awful wounds, but a look of divine peace on his face. It is Easter night, and Jesus has come to his disciples who have locked themselves away in fear. But Thomas is not in the photo. The fourth and last photo in Thomas's album is almost identical to that one. Again, there is a group of men huddled in the darkness, this time 11, because Thomas is in this picture. Again, Jesus is standing there offering them his peace. He holds his hands out to Thomas, offering him the chance to touch the wounds on his palms. But Thomas is on his knees, looking up, his face bright with joy and streaming with tears, and scrawled beneath the photo in his scratchy writing are the words, "My Lord and my God." So what do we know of Thomas? What can we glean from these four photographs in his family album? We can tell that Thomas is not a man of fear. He isn't afraid to go to Judea with Jesus and face possible death. "Let's go," he says eagerly, prepared even to die for Christ. Thomas isn't afraid to ask questions. While all the other disciples sit around the table, holding their hands together and trying to absorb everything Jesus is telling them, Thomas alone speaks up and asks the question, "How do we know the way?" It's a question that could easily pop out of our mouths if we're just brave enough to ask. How do we know the way? Jesus doesn't tell Thomas to be quiet. He doesn't make him feel stupid for asking a question. Jesus responds with words of reassurance that speaking to us as loudly today as they did to Thomas and all the other disciples on that night of the Last Supper. "I am the way," he says. "Believe in me." After the crucifixion and resurrection, the rest of the disciples are locked away in the upper room. They're afraid. They're afraid for their lives, but not Thomas. Who knows what Thomas is up to? On that first Easter night, he's not there, locked away in fear. He could be out scouting around the empty tomb, looking for details and clues. He might be out searching for the other disciples, not even realizing that they are hiding out. He could be talking to people about what happened that morning when the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Thomas is the only disciple brave enough to be out and about on that Easter night, trying to figure out for himself just what happened that day. So we can tell that Thomas is a follower, not a follower. He's a leader. He doesn't do things like everyone else. He has to follow his own path, ask his own questions. He's not a yes man content to sit and shake his head to believe what everyone else is telling him. No, he's the kind of guy that has to find things out for himself. And what does he get for being brave and exuberant and willing to put his life on the line and for asking the tough questions? What does he get? He gets dubbed the Doubting Thomas. That's how we know him, Doubting Thomas. It's a name given to him by those who've read just that last piece of the story. Doubting Thomas? Why? Why is he doubting? Because he dares to ask the questions? Because he won't take the other disciples' word for the fact that Jesus is alive? Because he wants to see Jesus for himself? This is why we call him the Doubting Thomas? Jesus doesn't scorn him. Jesus comes back to those locked away disciples a second time, and this time he comes for Thomas's sake, and he offers again his peace. Jesus knows what Thomas needs, so before Thomas can even say, "Oh, how about those hands?" Jesus offers to show them to him. But notice Thomas doesn't stick his fingers in the wounds. He doesn't really need to do that. He drops to his knees, and he voices the most profound declaration of faith of any of the disciples. "My Lord and my God," he says to Jesus. "My Lord and my God." Without a doubt, Thomas believes. He knows without a doubt that Jesus is his Lord and God. And why? Because of the nail prints? Because of the wound in Jesus' side? No. Thomas believes because Jesus never gave up on him. Because Jesus, he knows, is greater than his questions and doubts. Because Jesus knows that we all have to find it out for ourselves. Doubting Thomas, that's not right. It should be believing Thomas. Now, in that last photograph of Jesus, we can't flip that page close too quickly. We have to look at it just a little more carefully. It's like one of those trick photos where you see the person's eyes are following you no matter where you are in the room. In this case, it's the eyes of Jesus, and he's looking at someone. As soon as Thomas makes his proclamation, knelt down there before him, Jesus looks over Thomas's shoulder, and who does he see? James? John? Peter? No. Jesus sees us in that photo. He's looking out into time, and his eyes meet ours. And he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." That's us. Jesus is speaking the words to you and to me, to all who have come to believe without seeing him in the flesh and blood. None of us are eyewitnesses to the resurrection. To some extent, unlike Thomas, we have to rely on what others tell us in order to believe in Jesus, and that doesn't mean we can't ask questions. Ask the questions. That's okay. In fact, we want you to ask the questions. If we've learned anything from Thomas today, it's that it's okay to ask the questions. In fact, it's the best thing we can do is to talk about our faith, to try to figure it out, to tell the story to others and to share what we know, just to hear what other people have to say and then strive to make our faith our own, not just mimic what someone has told us. We have to make our faith our own, and then, like Thomas, we'll feel blessed. We have this wonderful photo album called the Bible. It's the Word of God and the words of people who want to tell the story of Jesus, to share the remarkable ways God has touched their lives, to show that it is for the common, ordinary people that Jesus gave his life. Just look through the album and see what you find. Look at that picture. Is that Jesus in his mother's arms? Oh, was he ever that small? Look, there's the time he fed 5,000 people on the hillside, and oh, look, there's that first Easter with the stone rolled away, but the disciples are locked away in the dark. But not Thomas. Not Thomas. He has too much to live for to spend his time cowering in fear. He has Jesus to live for, and so do we. Now, Easter was only a week ago. Don't be in such a rush to put the album back on the shelf and let it gather dust. Let's take it out and flip through the pages and read what's inside. And then ask your questions. Fill in the blanks with your story. Figure out what you believe. Let your faith be your own. You don't have to take anyone else's word for it, because you have the Word of God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Without a doubt, he is risen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who believe. You pray with me? Lord, it's only been a week since Easter and the glorious day of resurrection, and so quickly we lock ourselves back up in the darkness and live in fear. We're afraid to ask the questions. We're afraid to show that we maybe don't know it all. And yet you say to us, look, I will show you what you need. I will be there for you. I am your word. And I love you. Help us, O Lord, to live our faith, to explore it, to enjoy it, to treasure it, to question it, to find our way in the world that where we place our photos in the album and where you fill in the story of our life. May it be so. In the name of Christ, our risen Savior, in whose name we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.